How do you do? Tragic, isn't it, how a family can seem to be so ideal and then fall apart, proving once again that worldly success and material things do not alone bring peace and contentment. The man in this story had everything he needed and most of what he wanted, and didn't even know that there was something missing until his heart and mind and life were unshackled. Lighting the darkness with true life stories of real people, this is Unshackled, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Since 1877, when the doors first opened, Pacific Garden Mission has seen it all, wars, depressions, and boom times. No matter what the circumstances in the world, there have always been people who failed, people the world cast aside. But the motto at the mission is never give up on them. The old lighthouse is here in the heart of Chicago to rescue the perishing, offering food to the hungry, rest for the weary. And everything is free to those in need, even medical and dental care. Pastors and counselors speak the truth in love, helping street people receive the greatest gift of all, new life. Now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2534 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
I'll be out tomorrow afternoon. We have a rugby match.
Fine.
Are you sleeping on the couch tonight?
Might as well.
We'll get what you need out of our room then. I want to go to bed early.
All right.
Ron, there is something I need to tell you. I've been having feelings for one of the players on the team.
Feelings? What do you mean?
I'm attracted to her.
I always thought most of the women on the team were lesbians.
They're my friends. Don't put them down.
So they finally got to you, huh?
Well, I've struggled with these desires for a long time.
Well, then maybe you should find out for sure.
Well, maybe I will.
That's not the kind of revelation that makes for a happy marriage. But the man in our story had experience with rocky marriages. Over the years and through the trials, he had learned to be self-contained. But he was about to discover that self was not enough. This is the true story of Ron Tettelbach right now on Unshackled.
Ours was the all-American family when I was born in 1958. The youngest of three children, the only son. We regularly attended church, but only as a status symbol. We lived in a well-to-do community and traveled to Europe and the Caribbean. Dad was successful in business, but more than that, he loved to party and have a good time. He played 7 years of professional baseball, so I got to meet famous players like Mickey Mantle. My dad was always the life of the party. I enjoyed being his golf caddy and playing golf with him.
Hey, Ronnie, move on out about 50 yards and shag balls for me, okay?
Sure, Dad. Bet I can catch the balls right in the bag.
Bet you can, too. Next year, maybe we can compete in the father-son tournament, huh?
You think I'm good enough?
You're much better than most kids your age. We'll have a good time regardless.
Oh, I can't wait.
Hey, Ron, I'll start with a 7-iron. Hey, guys, let's organize a golf trip to Bermuda soon, and no wives, huh? We'll have the time of our lives. Hey, Ronnie, you ready?
Being a kind of celebrity, Dad was gone a lot and fooled around on Mom, so she eventually had an affair, too, with an old friend who was Dad's business partner. With both parents preoccupied, my sisters and I had a lot of freedom to hang out with friends and do as we pleased. Once, when our parents were gone for the night, my sister threw a big party for about 100 kids. Dad found out later.
Now, what's this I hear about a big party on Friday night?
What big party?
Don't you play dumb with me.
Oh, we had a few friends over while you were gone.
A few friends? Well, one of my buddies drove by the house and said there were so many cars on the street that he could hardly get by. He was mad at me for not inviting him to the party. I said, what party?
I didn't know all those people would show up.
Ah, you didn't, huh? Well, you have no business throwing a party when we're gone, and you know it.
Well, we cleaned up after it, Dad. You didn't even know until he told
you. Don't you talk back to me. You went too far this time, young lady. You're grounded for a month.
My sister was always getting in trouble for rebellion, while I was more compliant. Once when I was about 7, I accidentally set the curtains on fire using my wood-burning set. And I felt so bad, I asked my parents to cancel my birthday party as punishment. I wanted to please, not rebel. But I also wanted to fit in with the crowd. So I started smoking pot in junior high, even with my sisters.
You guys, the only way to see this movie is to get high. Come on, Ron, have a hit.
That good, huh?
It's fantastic. You won't believe the colors.
Dad would blow a gasket if he knew what we were doing.
What he doesn't know won't hurt him.
Does he know about those phone calls Mom gets? The ones where nobody says anything when we answer?
He knows. Not much he can do about it, though.
You think they're going to get divorced?
Nah, I don't think so. They never fight.
But Mom and Dad did get divorced. Larry, Dad's partner and friend, divorced his wife and married Mom, then moved into our house, while Dad moved into our new stepfather's apartment. Dad remained a friend to Larry and to Mom. After my stepfather took us on a skiing vacation to Aspen, Dad took us to Vail. I felt like a pawn in a game of chess for a while. This went on for about a year, during which time I spent weekends with Dad.
So, how are things at home?
Not too good.
Well, what do you mean?
I think Larry's feeling guilty about leaving his family, Dad.
Oh?
He's going back to them, I guess.
Oh, you're kidding.
Mom said he was leaving.
Well, how's she taking this?
She didn't say much, but she's kind of down.
Well, look, tell her I'm sorry it didn't work out. No, I'll tell her myself when I take you home.
Mom, I'm home.
She must be upstairs.
I'll run up and tell her you're here. Mom, Dad's here. Mom? Mom.
Let me alone.
What's wrong, Mom? Are you all right?
Who cares? Nobody cares. Go away.
Mom, Dad's downstairs. He wants to see you.
It'll all be over soon.
Oh, man. Dad! Dad, help! I need you!
Mom had taken a whole bottle of sleeping pills. We rushed her to the hospital where they saved her life. After that, she was treated at a psychiatric hospital for several months, and of course I was left more or less on my own, even in high school, since she was preoccupied with her own problems. I quit smoking entirely when I was 16 because I didn't want to ruin my lungs, but I continued to drink a lot.
What's with that guy, Ron? He's being a real jerk.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I think he's after your girlfriend.
You think so?
Well, why else would he keep making snide comments like that?
Just ignore him, man.
Oh, yeah, if he says one more word, I'm going to punch him out.
He's just drunk.
Hey, bitch face, you're ugly, you know that.
You jerk! I'll show you!
One of them used a broken beer bottle to slash my arm to the bone, and I couldn't stop the bleeding. Meanwhile, the bouncers forced us all outside and called an ambulance. They sped us to the hospital where Dad met us.
They said you were hurt in the plane. What happened?
Barroom brawl, Dad. Two guys went after my friend, so I jumped in. Two against one isn't fair.
Yeah. Boy, from the looks of that wound, they fought dirty.
Yeah. This guy broke a beer bottle on John's head, then slashed my arm with it.
Did you know him?
No, I never met him before.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to make him pay for this.
Dad, you think they can fix my arm?
Oh, yeah. Don't worry, son. I'll get you the best doctors I can find.
Whew. I'm getting kind of groggy.
I'll be right here, buddy. You doing okay, son? You're coming out of the anesthetic.
Oh, I think so. It's strange. You know, I thought I heard a baseball game on TV.
The Yankees are winning.
I must have been dreaming because I kept hearing the same strikeout over and over again.
Oh, you were dreaming? Ron Guidry has struck out 18 batters. That's a record.
I,
I still have my arm, huh?
Oh, yeah. The doctor said it took 56 stitches to sew you up on the outside.
Wow.
And that doesn't count the microsurgery inside. They had to reattach the nerve in your biceps.
You think I'll be able to play baseball again?
Oh, you bet. We'll be playing before you know it.
Sports was always important to my dad. When he was in college at Yale, he was captain of the baseball team the year after former President George Bush was captain. So they knew each other and were still friends. I was active in sports too, playing baseball and soccer in high school and taught skiing in the winter. But after the surgery, my arm was never quite the same. One day, while I was still in the sling, Dad and I tried playing tennis together, and I could see he was brooding about my injury.
15 love.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dad. I'm not doing very well here.
It's the kid's fault for cutting you.
Can we take a break?
Yeah, sure.
Whew.
You sore?
Yeah, it's harder to play with a sling than I thought, even if it is on the other arm.
You still don't have any feeling in the last two fingers, huh?
No. Too far out from the cut. The doc said I may never regain feeling there, but I can live with it.
I'm going to tell you, Ronnie. I'm going to go see the guy that did this to you and take care of him personally.
Dad.
I mean it. He's not going to get away with what he did to you. I'm going to make him pay for this.
In a moment, Ron will tell us what he learned about vengeance. Hearing from listeners is the highlight of our day, and we'd like to share excerpts from recent letters. This woman in Finland writes, I have listened to your program for 6 years and am very blessed by it. Unshackled is the most exciting program of the week. In our own country, a Native American writes from Arizona, Unshackled has given me strength, encouragement, and growth. Thank you very much. And this woman from Texas tells us a heartwarming story. She writes, my 9-year-old grandson was listening to your program along with his mother. At the end of the program, he wanted to give his heart to Jesus. My daughter led him to the Lord in prayer, and when he finished, he said he felt better. I listened to Unshackled in the 70s as a young mother. I never dreamed God would use your radio program to reach my grandson. We produce these testimonies for people like you, so please write and let us know that you listen. The address is Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and please include your address.
Let it go, Dad.
You've got to be kidding.
No, I mean it. Forgive and forget.
But you've got permanent damage to your arm.
I know. But I can live with it. It's over.
You bet it is.
That's the real damage, Dad. Don't you see? All that bitterness is not good for you or me. It's better to forgive and let it go.
I don't think I can do that. And I don't see how you can do it either.
I don't know how to forgive either, Dad. But it's the best thing to do. Dad never said any more about vengeance, and I was glad. Sports was still important to me, and I played rugby and soccer in college. Rugby is a very social game with many beer-drinking traditions, so we all drank a lot. Our dorm was also forming a water polo team, and that's how I met a girl I'll call Jean, who also lived in the dorm.
Hi, Ron. Are you getting ready for the big splash-out tonight?
Nah. I'm just relaxing after a hard day in class.
What was hard about it?
The hangover from last night's party. The rugby team plays hard, and I don't mean on the field.
How do you keep your grades up?
Osmosis, I guess. I sure don't read. Hate to read.
You mean that?
You don't need to read for math class. The others, I just listen and take good notes.
Oh, but you have to read a book for history.
My buddy told me what the book was about, and I wrote an essay for the final based on what he told me.
And you passed?
I got a better grade than he did. You don't have to read if you pay attention.
I could learn a lot from you.
Like my dad, I also like to party and have a good time. Jean and I dated, but I wasn't ready to settle down. But she had other ideas.
We've been dating a long time, Ron. Why don't we get married?
You mean a lot to me, Jean. You know that. But I don't want to get married.
Well, you sure know how to hurt a girl.
I'm just being honest. Maybe I'm not cut out for marriage.
That really hurts me because I put everything into this relationship, Ron. I thought you did, too.
Can't we just have a good time together? What's wrong with that?
Well, but I was hoping for marriage. I want to marry you, Ron.
Honey, don't cry. I didn't mean to hurt you.
I thought you loved me.
I do.
Well, then why don't we get married?
I gave in, and we were married. Our first child was born, and everything seemed okay. Not great, but okay. I stopped drinking altogether after college when I saw that alcohol wasn't getting me anywhere. As a salesman, I was fairly successful. Even so, our marriage began to deteriorate. After our second child was born, Jean became increasingly unhappy.
Ron, if I can get a sitter, why don't we go out somewhere tonight?
I've been out all day. I want to stay home.
What about me?
Well, didn't you play rugby today?
Yes, and some of the girls are getting together for pizza tonight. We could join them.
Oh, they're not my type.
Ron.
You know what I think about most of them.
They're my friends, so you must think the same about me.
Well, if the shoe fits, wear it. Oh, that was real cute, Jean. You just barely missed me.
You're lucky my aim is bad.
Well, thanks. I think I'll sleep on the sofa tonight.
Months went by as I continued to sleep on the sofa most of the time, and neither of us seemed to mind. I had always been self-contained, not letting things bother me, and this was no exception. Then came the bombshell.
Well, I know for sure now. I am a lesbian.
Oh, that's quite a shock, Jean. But I guess I can live with it.
Well, I don't want to live like this, Ron. I've been unhappy for a long time.
So have I. But I'm willing to stay with you and try to work something out.
I don't want to. I want a divorce, Ron.
You can't mean it. What about the children?
Oh, they'll be much better off in a home where love is.
I'm not going to give up and lose my kids.
You can see them on the weekends, Ron. Look, I'm leaving. I have got to get on with my life.
Jean continued to pursue a relationship with another woman and filed for divorce. At first, I lost a lot of weight after she left, but then I stabilized. Once again, I handled a bad situation in a decent way and kept my problems to myself. I drove a lot as part of my job and listened to the radio, mostly sports and rock and roll. Then I got bored and began listening to Christian stations.
The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's quite a gift, isn't it? Everlasting life. You'd think you would have to do something extraordinary to earn anything that valuable. But the Bible says you can't earn it, and you don't deserve it. Eternal life is a gift from God, and all you have to do is believe in Christ, in his sacrifice for your sin. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There's only one way to God, the way of the cross. It's a free gift to you, but it cost God everything. Well, look at it this way. If you get a present wrapped in a box and you put it in a closet and never open it, you have never received the gift. You don't know what's in the package, and it has never benefited you. Well, Jesus gave us the gift of salvation. Receive the gift by believing in him.
I had been listening to Christian radio for months when I heard this program. At the end of the message, I prayed to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I didn't realize at the time the magnitude of what happened at that moment. I thought God would be happy to have me. After all, I never fooled around on my wife, didn't do drugs, and was basically honest. Somehow, God gave me a desire to read the Bible. The guy who hated to read. It took me a year and a half, but it revealed many truths that had been hidden from me.
Ronnie, you're reading the Bible. Why?
It's the most amazing book, Dad. Awesome.
How so?
Well, I always thought I was a pretty good guy, but in the sight of God, everyone is a sinner.
Now, wait a minute. I don't believe that. Most people try to do what's right.
But we can't. That's the problem. We can't because we're born with a sin nature separated from God. It says here in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?"
Okay, I'll go along with that, but people can change.
Yes, with God's help. He promises to give us a new heart when we believe in Christ. And it's true. I'm not the same as I once was.
Ronnie, you were always a good kid.
No, I wasn't, Dad. That's the point. No matter how good you look on the outside, you're a wicked sinner without Christ. I received him more than a year ago, and I thought I wasn't so bad, but now I know the truth. I see the wickedness in my own heart, the inability to face the truth and resolve difficult matters by pretending I'm okay, when internally I'm having a real struggle.
Oh, well, it sounds to me like you've gone overboard on religion.
It's Jesus, Dad, and there's no other name under heaven by which you must be saved.
Now, I don't believe that. Many roads lead to God.
Your lack of belief doesn't change the reality of this truth, Dad. God is exclusive. Luke chapter 9, verse 35 says, "And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him.'" Later, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me."
I'm sorry, Ron. I just can't go along with that.
My family was not open to the gospel, but I found a good church that taught the Bible. They had a singles group that met to play volleyball, and that's how I met Mary Ann. I wanted to go out with her.
I'm sorry, Ron. I'm dating someone already.
Well, can't you go out with me as well?
Oh, that wouldn't be fair. Besides, you're a lot older than I am.
12 years isn't that much.
What happened between you and your wife?
We're divorced. She left me for a woman.
Oh.
It was during this period that I came to the Lord.
Well, what's been her response to your salvation?
She said that men wrote the Bible, and she doesn't trust men. And also the Bible condemns her homosexuality.
Oh, that's really sad, Ron.
Yeah, I agree.
What about your kids?
Oh, I see them every week, and we have a great relationship. Fortunately, their mother doesn't tear me down to them. She encourages them to spend time with me.
You know, your life sounds so complicated, Ron. I'm sorry. I don't think we should be anything more but friends right now.
Let's pray about it. I held her hand and prayed, but 6 months went by, and we were nothing more than friends who saw each other at church once a week. Mary Ann took care of an elderly woman at night, and one night she called me well after midnight. Hello?
Ron, I'm sorry to bother you, but I need to talk to someone.
What's wrong?
I'm scared. I know I shouldn't be, but I am. I called my boyfriend, but he was no help.
Why are you scared?
I feel so alone.
Oh, Mary Ann, you're never alone. The Lord is always with you, always.
I know, but...
Why don't you get your Bible and let's read, starting with the Psalms.
Oh, thank you, Ron.
Anytime. Let's see. Psalm 27 is a good one. I'll read first.
Okay.
"The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" That happened several times during the next 6 months. Then Mary Ann broke up with her boyfriend, and we went out a few times before I asked her to marry me. She said yes. We've been married for 7 years, and God gave us 2 sons and a daughter. From time to time, I sent my father tapes and tracts, but he rejected Christ, though he still listened to me politely because he loved me. Then he got cancer and was on his 3rd marriage. He and his wife believed in positive thinking, that he would be healed. But my sisters and I were summoned to his bedside as the end drew near.
I'm going to beat this thing, Ron. You'll see.
Dad, I came to say goodbye.
Huh?
They say you're going to die soon.
Is that true?
Yes, Dad. Your wife didn't want to tell you. Won't you invite Jesus into your heart before it's too late?
I'm all right, son. I'm not worried.
you can know for sure that you will go to heaven, Dad. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Don't you want that assurance?
Ronnie, there's nothing wrong with me.
God is not willing that any should perish. So you can ask his forgiveness any time, Dad. Right up to the end, you can ask Jesus to save you.
No, I'll be fine. Don't worry.
I love you, Dad. You're a great father to me. But Jesus loves you even more. My father died a week later. He was a great man by the world standards, but the world standards won't get you into heaven. Only Jesus can do that. I pray that Dad reached out to Christ before he died. I'm not a celebrity as he was, but I will make sure that our children hear the gospel and grow up observing the teachings of the Bible being demonstrated in my life. It isn't enough to be self-contained. You have to be God-controlled. God bless Christian Radio for bringing the wonderful gospel message of Jesus into my life.
Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 24, Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And listening friend, that includes you. If you would like to be free of guilt and shame that haunts you, just contact Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago. We'd be happy to send some literature to you to help you grow in faith. Write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. The email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And visit our website at www.unshackled.org. We hope this true story has touched your heart. If so, remember to tell your friends about us and ask them to listen next time. Also, the manager of this station would like to know this program is important to you. Call or write to say, Thanks for Unshackled. This is program number 2534, heard in the true story of Ron Tettelbach, where Rick Dianofsky, Herb Graham, Judith Easton, Mickey Hurd, and Rick Plastina. Original music, Don Badorf, sound, Nicoloisio, engineer Ed Webb, script by Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Hearing from you is important to us, so don't put off writing any longer. The address simply, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. If you don't know which way to turn, we'd like to help. Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.